If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Fusion Reigns. Right there it is. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Davis and the Agri Kitty, say hi.
Hi. How dare you?
We've been talking about it for quite some time. And, you know, with the way that the market traded this week, if you're looking at it on a daily bar chart, what happened yesterday in live cattle futures kind of makes action that we've seen over the past, what, 6 months, maybe even year. Yeah. Even over the last year, makes it look fairly organized, rational. And then we get that big move yesterday, some follow through today. Here we are up at new contract highs, new contract high closes, and the momentum continues to build. Let's find out what Chris Swift from Swift Trading Company thinks about it. Chris, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Chip, I'm doing great, sir. Certainly do hope you are.
You bet. Perfect timing to get you on here, man, after the way that this cattle market has traded the past couple of days. What's your overall thoughts?
Yeah, it's real interesting, Chip, because we've divided the market between two different basis spreads. In the live cattle market, we carried a positive basis. The cash market was always trading just a little bit higher than the futures, in expectation of maybe falling off a little bit. So the futures didn't want to be right up next to the cash market. Cash takes a little bit of a leap, and that makes too wide of a basis for the futures, and they have to catch up. Just the opposite in the feeder cattle market, where we have a huge negative basis, as much as $39 to $40 now, because we've seen very little movement back up in the index over the last several days, yet we've seen a huge move up in the futures that has widened that negative basis out even more. So although we're not gaining as much right now on the cash market, the expectations are huge in the future, and we need that. As bad as it may be on short hedgers and those guys that are bleeding margins, if the market were opposite, it would be worse. You're going to need all of this futures premium out there in order to get the cash markets up. And our not necessarily fear, but our real wonder is, will the cattle feeder actually pay those prices when we get to those time frames? And that's what everybody wants to know.
Okay, Chris, give me the basis on the feeder cattle again.
It's a negative basis. It's anywhere from $39 to $40, depending upon which one. Negative meaning that the cash market is trading well under the futures market.
Right.
Cash basis is always quoted, cash minus futures. That way you get the positive or negative basis.
Exactly. I'm with you. Now, have you seen a market like that before?
Sure, absolutely. We saw it in 2014. Quite a bit of a difference in the economic environment, significantly higher interest rates today and rising. Then rates were lower and still declining. Tremendous amounts of stimulus coming into the markets from the government. Now we've got the government trying to pull all that stimulus money back out again, trying to curb our inflationary impact. So there's some differences economically out there. But as far as the basis spreads, 2013 and 2014 produced like basis spreads that we see right now. And no doubt they can be filled with the cash market going up. But that's the thing we don't know. It's the future. We just don't know. So we either A, take precautions in that to capture the basis, or we decide that we want to swing out there loose and not have anything and see what the chips may fall at when we get to the end.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I'm looking at some of the sale barn receipts that are coming in from the northern market. I'm talking about Iowa in particular. The cash market is living up to what the futures are telling us, isn't it? And that the index has got to include a lot of southern calves in there. Is that what it is?
They do. And the quality and price is a differential. And I don't really mean to differentiate it between commercial cattle and good cattle, but clearly there is a difference between cattle traded in the South and cattle traded in the North. But as a whole, what we have seen is just an extensive capital requirement to be in the cattle business. Doesn't matter what sector you're in. It's unbelievable. And I may be wrong, but I think we are either close to or have exceeded the price it takes to put on a pound of beef. So incredibly, here we are 8 years down the road from our last 2014 peak, and we're right back up at the highs again. So it's very interesting how this cycle, price-wise, similar to, yet the economic side of it completely different.
Okay, talk us through that. I know you want to, and I'm very interested in this. Talk us through just what that investment or cost is to produce a pound of beef.
Well, right now it includes the feeder cattle. So when we look at what it costs to produce the pound of beef, we start with the feeder cattle. Right now, not at any kind of historical high when you look at the cash markets. The feeder cattle index has been up in the 240 range before, back in the 2014. So we're not quite at historical levels in the cash. Clearly at new historical levels in the future. So we take that times that price dollar times the price of the, or excuse me, times the weight of the cattle, add that, and then we get into where the feed yard, and we ask the feed yard manager, what is that cost of gain per pound? And it could range anywhere from as low as 90 cents to as high as $1.30, $1.40, depending upon what time of the year and where you're feeding at. And right now I'm under the impression we're somewhere around $1.20 to $1.30. You times that by the number of pounds you're going to put on it, divide it by the total weight of the steer, and that gives you your break-even price to it. And what we see is anything over $1.20 cost of gain on there just isn't profitable as we put that onto feeder cattle at the 240 and above level. So either the cost of gains has to come down, or the price of the feeder cattle goes down, or the price of the fat cattle soars even higher.
Yeah.
One of those things will have to happen, or everyone just loses margin and nobody makes money.
That sounds so cattle market to me.
It's right in line. It is one of the most spectacular boom and bust businesses that I have ever seen. It truly is. It rarely ever settles down. And now we have another issue that very few people are looking at, that the packing side of the industry addressed about 3 years prior to the big liquidations. And they said, we have too much packing capacity for the number of animals out there. And the same Tyson plant, one 50 miles from the other, were competing against one another.
Yeah.
So they took, and the packing industry as a whole went in and started buying up lesser performing packing plants and closing them, mothballing them, until we reached a level to where packing capacity to utilization of cattle were perfect. And then we exploded in cattle. Now we've increased our cattle numbers and everything went down. Fast forward to today, it is highly unlikely that we will expand this herd for 3 years.
Right.
Even then, when we do get to expand and we're on a roll, I think it very unlikely that we ever reach the levels that we did in 2016 and 2017. So if we stay similarly to Australia, 10, 15, 20% below production, we're going to have too much cattle feeding capacity for the number of cattle out there. Today, everybody wants to be in business and everybody is paying top price. If you start seeing some of those that are paying top price that are weaker and get something wrong, somebody buys them out and they don't take over the feed yard, they shut it down.
Right.
Now we reduce the cattle feeding capacity to the number of cattle that we have. That changes the dynamics clearly right there again. And although that's not been stated, I've not read that in print or everything, but if we just take the lessons from other businesses, one, the packing industry having done that, another, the row crop and hog production, how can we get more from less? We narrowed the rows and we put more units per acre in the corn, and we also have found that we can raise hogs larger carcass frames, and we also know that we can raise cattle frames larger. And all we need is a very short period of time to give the cattle feeder a little bit of a break. And I think they would put additional weight on those carcasses that would help to mitigate some of the shortage in beef.
Yeah. Fascinating, Chris. Your grasp, I think, of what is going on out there is outstanding. And, you know, it was probably, well, it was at least a year ago and maybe even longer than that when we were looking at the USDA efforts to support expansion in beef processing and some of the personal or private investment that was happening and all the announcements of new capacity that was coming online. We just, you know, you sat back and said, oh, this capacity will be great, but if you don't have the cattle to fill the hooks, what difference does it really make? I want to talk more about that. Chris Swift, Swift Trading Company, right here on AgriTalk.